can we do a pre-show shot before we do the shot? Because I really want this shot. Okay. And I'm really tired of waiting.
Okay, let's do a shot. Right. I don't have enough salt, I don't think.
I don't have any salt.
How about you bring over the salt?
Rimmed glass.
But how do we
sprinkle
do it?
It on with my fingers?
I'll throw in some after
I can. I can like give that. You all rim jobs, and then we can sprinkle salt.
You got that recorded, right?
Welcome to Pod Thingy, where the geeks meet over drinks to discuss the latest in pop culture. Join the rock star, the author, the outlaw, and the nerd girl for Pod Thingy.
God damn, welcome to Pod Thingy. This is
in the house.
Episode 22? Is that right? Is
it? Yes.
Can that possibly be right?
Double deuces.
My name is John. I am here with
Tracy
and Hayden
and Blaine.
There's no one to mock your name this week.
I'm just sad about that. Yeah. Future guests have always got to mock my name.
Seriously.
I'll mock your name.
All right.
We are Hayden.
Hey, people.
We are geeks with drinks, or deeks with drinks.
Grinks with Deeks.
That's what she said. Yeah. And this week's drink comes courtesy again of our regular listener, Carrie Bacon.
Yay.
And it's a chocolate salted pretzel shot. And I have to tell you, these are fucking delicious.
Oh, God.
So good.
God, these are so good that we're almost out of them before we've even started this show.
It's really not good.
So good. I think John said regagugler.
He did. I wasn't going to call it out, but he did.
I hate you all. If you're following along at home, the drink recipe is one part whipped vodka, one part Frangelico, one part butterscotch schnapps, and you're going to let that chill. Then you're going to put it. You drink this as a shot in a chilled, salt-rimmed glass. And
it's funny because you said
fucking delicious.
Yeah, and you said you want to put that, and immediately you thought, you want to put that in your fucking face is what you want to do.
All right, so we have shots in front of us. Here we go. Ready?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Go.
Sing Tao.
Cheers.
That's delicious.
Oh, my God. That's
sugar
good.
And salt.
Holy stuff. Crap, that's good.
Dude, I fucking hate that.
Sweet. You hate that?
You hate it so good.
I hate it so good. So good.
You hating so good?
No, that's different.
So we've had a guest laden last 2 weeks, and here we are with just ourselves, and I feel a little weird about that. I mean, I've gotten used to having guests now.
I know. They were so awesome. So
all by ourselves.
Whatever. I still live with you guys.
Because of that, we didn't get to everything in the last 2 weeks. So this is a good opportunity for us to talk about some things that we haven't talked about in the last couple weeks. AMC ordered a pilot for the Walking Dead companion series. What do you guys think about that, Walking Dead people?
That's kind of been in the news for a little bit, but I guess they're finally pulling the trigger on it.
Yeah,
right?
Well, no, they actually said, you will give us episodes
of this new series. And I think, as we've touched on in the past, this is totally separate of the Rick Grimes Walking Dead comic book series.
Right.
This is going to be a whole new group of characters, and they're not pulling from comics at all.
At all. Yeah, I was going to say, because it's like because you and I have read it, although, you know, I've caveated this before, I've run out, pretty much. Like, there's a few things that I'm sure are going to happen in the next season, but I'm read up. Like, I will
me too.
Not, yeah.
I'm current.
I'm current, but I will not be, after this, I will not be.
So are you looking forward to this, or?
Well, I'm looking forward to anything they do in this universe. I really am. I like the fact that they've changed things. Mm-hmm. I've liked the fact that they've created their own, you know, it's the TV universe.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm excited about anything they do.
Yeah. I'm kind of a guy of science, and I kind of want to see, I like the characters, and I like going on with these. I want to see, like, some sort of something come down where there's more explanation of why this is happening and what's going on in the rest of the world. So that's why I'm kind of looking forward to this a little bit, because it's supposed to be in a different region.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I mean, I don't think anyone would argue that an interesting story of someone else's perspective.
Yeah.
you know, would be very cool. Would mm-hmm. be very cool. So I'm excited about that. At the same time, there's certain things that the show has not hit on in the comic book that I am aware of, mm-hmm. you know, that I've seen already. And I would like to see if they actually take, you know what I mean?
Exactly.
Without giving
yeah.
spoilers. Like, yeah. I would like to see if they actually address that.
Yeah, you know? And it seems like they're really fleshing it out. And who knows? I mean, how long is The Walking Dead going to go? I mean, this can't be a show that goes on for 10 seasons.
AMC said they're like, we will do this as long as we possibly can.
Rick's and a cane, and that's it. Man, and a walker.
Well, we know.
A literal walker.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Well, we know that's not going to happen.
No, that won't happen. Yeah, but, yeah. No, this is their money cow. It's the number one show on TV. And, in fact, I think there was something that just came up that I saw – that now it's going in syndication. It's going to be like local. It's going to be on
right
in what LA. It's say? KCOP,
Channel 13 in Los Angeles.
Can I ask a question? Because I'm, as you know, I have not started Walking Dead yet,
right? Mm-hmm.
And I intend to, but I have not.
Don't start it in KCOP.
No,
I won't,
because yeah. that's going to be like The Sopranos when yeah. it hit.
No, me. It's not going to happen. Yeah. But my question on this is: when you follow a group in a post-apocalyptic series, my feeling is that you're following the group that's most important, right? Like, that's the point of the series, that you're watching the people that are going to deal with this post-apocalypse situation in the most definitive way. So when they do a Walking Dead spinoff, and we're going to be like, oh, we're going to show you people on the other side of the world dealing with the same shit, doesn't it kind of, like, minimize the impact of the people in the first series?
Well, okay, how did you feel when Mork and Mindy spun off of Happy Days?
It feels very different to me.
But
when Deep Space Nine kind of spun off from Next Generation.
But both of those situations, even, I'm not watching Happy Days and going, I'm watching the people who are going to save the universe.
Well, okay, the one thing I will say about that, To your point, which is actually absolutely relevant, is that on Walking Dead, there is a component, spoiler alert, there's a component of Walking Dead who has the answer to everything, and they're mm-hmm. trying to get him to a position where he can save everything. So, yeah, if there's a companion piece, they can't really do that. So it is a very interesting subject where you're like, okay, well, what are you going to bring up? You know, it's just going to be a bunch of zombies killing people.
Yeah,
you know?
and that's my point is, yeah. It's just that it feels like if you're saying, hey, guys, this is the situation of the world, and these are the people you should watch, then suddenly you're splitting focus.
But at the same time, you're talking about a huge story. I mean, yeah. There's lots of other stories that can be told. And they've done a really good job of spinning really great stories. I still say that Walking Dead is it's a character development piece that
exactly.
just happens to have zombies in it.
Well, and I think one of the brilliant parts of this show is that they're always introducing new characters, whether they're from the comics or not. Yeah. And I think that, I mean, when you're watching this, when you see these other groups that kind of interact with, mm-hmm. with our main character, so to speak, you realize the world is bigger than them.
Yeah.
That there are other things going on, and yeah. they may not be the saviors.
I will agree.
That you're just, you're rooting for them, maybe, but that doesn't mean they're going to be the, I don't know, the heroes
yeah.
in the end.
And yeah. my hope and wish, and I know you agree with this because you yeah. and I have talked about it before, Hayden. Yeah. It was one of the few times I will agree with Hayden.
there was one other show somewhere in there.
Yeah. I really, you know, Walking Dead, it keeps doing the same thing. Mm-hmm. Okay, we have a villain. Mm-hmm. It's the governor, and he's got this place, and we defeat him, and then we mm-hmm. go over here, and now there's this villain, and we defeat mm-hmm. him, and then we go over here. You know, and they need to, which is very reminiscent of our previous podcast about the Marvel, you know, storyline. So they're gonna have to get over that. They're gonna have to figure out a way of bringing fresh ideas to their entire timeline. But
yeah, and I think they do that in ways with each individual character by saying they each commit evils in their journey
again,
through.
It's a character piece that happens to have zombies. And the idea of them crossing over, at some point or not at all, but like, a character hearing of something happening is very exciting to me.
Yeah, and I will say this, unless they change this, when I first heard about this series, is that they said that these series were not crossing over. They were not going to
cross
over.
Do we know what region of the country they are in?
I think they were going to go western.
Right. They're not going to cross over, but there's going to be, we've heard that there are people over in this. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
They're going to do stuff like that, just like, Smallville did that, and
they have to, almost. Yeah. Just for ratings purposes. I like that. No, yeah. I really like that. It'll be interesting. I'll watch it. But it's not going to be based on comics either. This is solely TV.
No, at some point, the comics are stopping, and it's all going to be the show.
I hate to bring up the show that shall not be named.
Do not
mention Tiny Toons.
Mention Tiny
Toons. Okay,
I
love Tiny Toons.
So I hate to bring up Lost. But I feel like they did something like this intra-show without doing a spinoff.
It's not like that.
No, how is it not? I mean, you're basically saying, hey, here are the survivors on the other side of the island. I understand that Lost did it in an abbreviated sort of way.
But it's
the same idea.
I get where you're coming from, but I don't see how that's possible. Watching the shows, I don't see how that's possible.
I totally concede that I have not watched Lost.
Mention Lost.
I have not watched The Walking Dead, and I intend to.
That's going to be an awesome binge watch for you. By the way, I'm very jealous.
But it does feel like similar storytelling. I mean, you're saying, all right, here's a situation. We're showing these people's perspective. Now we're going to shift, and we're going to show from the other side of the world, the country, the state, whatever it is. That was very similar to what they tried to do in Lost in a few episodes.
I think Walking Dead is a more character-driven story than Lost even is. Lost put a lot of emphasis on the island and the sci-fi elements going on.
Okay, remember that you said that when we eventually have
Lost episode.
I think Lost spent more time on character. It was a character-driven show.
No, it is. I agree.
Yeah. You're contradicting yourself.
No. Right. The island, God.
The island was a character on Lost.
It was a character. Yeah. It wasn't. All right.
We're not supposed to be talking about Lost.
Right. We're not supposed to be talking about Lost.
Walking Dead, there could be 10 shows. I mean, seriously.
Ten different groups.
The way that it is set up, it could be 10, it could be 20 shows. The only thing that Walking Dead has that the companion series will not have is the answer to the plague.
The plague. And we don't know yet about the plague and the original series.
And we don't, without spoilers, we don't even know.
And that was my original point, is that I just think that's what I would like more out of The Walking Dead going forward, is that I think they're spending a lot of time on character and we're not getting to the plague part. They're just trying to survive.
Well, they have to get to Washington.
Versus Lost, which is basically plot over character, you're talking about Walking Dead. It's mostly character versus plot, and that's what enables you to do the spinoff series, so that you can examine how this affects your characters from multiple different angles, which is cool for me. I get it.
Can we just talk about how awesome mullets are?
Mullets are awesome.
Mullet and Washington. I just think that there's more in Lost, the element, they're trying to figure out more of what's going on around them, versus in Walking Dead, they're just trying to survive, and you're living with these characters, and they're going through their
Walking
highs
Dead
and lows.
Walking
as they
Dead
try
is
to
very
survive.
Day by day.
Yes.
It's very day by day.
Keep in mind, as you say these things,
they're going to come back to haunt me. I realize this. This is fine.
Absolutely. All right. So moving on from this topic.
We'll approach this at some point.
Maybe the 100th show. I have no idea. Okay. I'm ready to do another shot. Does anyone have another shot?
Totally ready.
Sure.
All right.
Let's shoot it. John just pinched some salt. Man.
Oh, fuck. Me.
Really good.
Oh, good.
Dude, can we just always do this shot, please? forget it. Just sorry. Pod Thingy is now the Pod Thingy drinking with chocolate salted balls.
The official
shot.
Drink of the show.
That's it.
24 may be coming to the big screen.
Never seen it. They have a brand new series coming out, though, don't they?
It's already on.
It was already on.
It was
London.
It was
already. It was already on.
How long of a movie is the 24 hour? Because isn't the whole show of 24 like 24 episodes?
Correct.
Yeah, I don't get how
so
that
works.
So
maybe it'll be called 2.
2.2. No,
it'll be called 120.
I just want to see the guy hit the fast forward button while you're watching the 24 movie where it's like zzz, and it
I
goes
just,
like 10 hours in advance.
Just once, I want to see that motherfucker go to the bathroom.
or eat.
And by the way,
they're all vampires on TV. They don't go to the bathroom. They don't eat.
Who needs to go to the bathroom?
I do right now.
I want to be a vampire. I want to have to never eat and never go to the bathroom.
Next topic.
I immediately thought about biting Tracy.
I'll
even sparkle. I don't give a shit.
Oh.
Whoa.
Oh,
boo.
I immediately thought about not biting Tracy.
At least the one thing about the sparkly vampires is that they never have to sleep. I could really use that time.
Miss the sparkle.
I could use that time as well. Hayden.
Yes.
Has discovered a new dinosaur. I may have this story a little bit wrong, but I think Hayden discovered it.
I think he discovered it, yeah.
I was out digging in the lands of Africa last week, and I came across a couple bones.
So tell us about the new dinosaur, Hayden.
Well, can I say it, or is it still off limits?
You like dinosaurs.
You like dinosaurs.
I like dinosaurs, too.
I like dinosaurs as well, but...
How about I say this? I enjoy very large lizards.
All right.
That's a t-shirt. The front is I like dinosaurs. The back is I like very large lizards.
There's our title of the show right there.
You realize that when you say this is the title of the show, it will never be the title of the show.
It's true.
It's never once happened.
No. Because I've been the idiot who keeps saying that. There's the title. And I'm like, I feel like King Overlord shit because I just called the title of the show.
Then stop putting chocolate salty balls in my mouth.
I got nothing.
I got nothing.
What if we titled this show, This is the Title of the Show?
See, you motherfucker, that would have been awesome, but you just jinxed it.
Fucking A. Hayden, just talk about the dinosaur.
Okay, there's the dinosaur. So another dinosaur was discovered that's bigger than the last one they just discovered, and this one is called the Dreadnought.
Which is so awesome.
Dreadnoughtus.
I'm sorry. Somebody actually named a dinosaur something really fucking cool.
It's really fucking cool.
I know.
And this thing is supposedly bigger and heavier than a herd of elephants.
Yep.
77.
Well, it's not as big as it is that, but it weighs
heavier.
More.
It had a huge neck, and they said nothing. It really had no enemies. Like, this thing would...
Predators?
Yeah, there was no predators.
And
nothing
would
attack it.
And they probably didn't move very much either. Yeah.
It looks like literally a Tyrannosaurus could take a bite at it, and it would be like, fuck off. Actually, that reminds me of a story that happened on New Year's Eve where I picked a fight with this guy way bigger than me.
Why did you do that?
Took a bite at it?
Because I was drunk, and it was one of those things where I was like, let's go! And he was like, doink. See you later, little boy.
This thing also had a weaponized tail of some sort.
It did.
I didn't see that.
It was a nasty MF. This was not
a stegosaurus type tail?
It looks like a brontosaurus almost, like just really enlarged.
Brontosaurus doesn't exist.
What was it?
Brachiosaurus.
Brachiosaurus, that's it.
Look at Blaine going all Pluto on your
eyes. Oh, fucking
seriously.
No, I
just went paleontologist.
I like dinosaurs too.
All right, paleontologist on my butt.
That's right.
But no, this thing was, again, had no... It died because it got old.
Or because it fell over and couldn't get back up.
Yeah.
Or all the cavemen ate him.
The world is only 7,000 years old, okay? Jesus rode a velociraptor. In case you were not aware, Blaine.
Let's fight.
There's even a museum that says so,
it must
be true.
Oh, I know.
You guys are fun. You guys ready for some lightning round topics that I've been putting off? For 2 weeks.
Let's do it.
Bring the thunder and the lightning.
I'm bringing it. Ready?
Like Thor.
First lightning round topic, Gamergate. Tracy?
We couldn't do this while I was sober? No, okay. There's a big uproar in the gaming community right now. Basically, a game developer who was a woman. It was implied that she was getting favoritism in some of the gaming magazines because she slept with somebody. And all of the readers of these magazines and the anonymous 4chan Reddit bloggers, guys, were kind of up in arms and have basically been chick trashing this girl. And anybody who comes to her defense is being almost like one guy actually quit because of it. One girl stopped reporting entirely. And it's kind of become this huge back and forth. And everybody's kind of fighting each other. And it's this big uproar. And I mean, not being a gamer myself, I've only been sort of following it. But what's been interesting to me about it is kind of the male-female bashing. Kind of in the same vein as like the Jennifer Lawrence, Kate Upton photo leaking, where they don't see women as being actual people, more of objects who can just be trashed and it's okay. And anybody who's kind of defending women in the gaming industry is being really attacked.
That's not cool.
No, it's really not cool. And that's kind of where it's at right now. It's an ongoing saga. The gaming magazines are saying that gaming is dead, and the gamers are saying, no, you guys are a dying breed.
Wow. Well, if you know more about Gamergate and you want to weigh in, geeks@podthingy.com. And this is something that's kind of out of our expertise, but I'd love to talk about it more. It's, wow. It sounds interesting.
We should call Ivan.
Yeah, seriously.
The last game I played was Super Mario 3.
Mario Kart.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Sonic! Yes, I did play Sonic.
We're such experts.
I know. Gaming is not our expertise, but this sounds really interesting.
Yeah.
So, Leah Thompson, famous of Back to the Future and Howard the Duck.
Howard the Duck.
Is on Dancing with the Stars, along with Randy Couture and Tommy Chong and Alfonso Ribera.
Who was Carlton?
I don't talk ill will, and this is not an ill will story, but I did see her at Comic-Con last year, and she had a booth where she was signing. She had like a big Back to the Future.
Oh, did she?
Yeah, she was, and I think she was there again this year. But I went up, and I was like, oh, I'm a big fan. It's like my second favorite movie of all time, and I was like, can I get a picture with you? And she's like, yeah, that'll be $20.
I mean, that's kind of what they do now. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. I don't blame them for that. I really don't.
I'm not blame her. I was just, I don't know. It kind of stunned me a little bit.
I know the daughter of the guy who played the not the $6 million man, but the science guy in that show with the glasses. I can't think of his name right now. I believe it was Richard Anderson. But that was how he made his living. And he would go to a convention and literally bring home a bag of cash. Mm-hmm. You know, like Joker robbing the bank style. Bring home a bag of cash. Mm-hmm. But that was the only thing he did. I mean, he wasn't acting anymore. He was kind of over that age where he, you know, could be really active in doing that. And that was it. That was what he did. So, I mean, I don't blame them. Usually they have a sign that specifically says, like, you know, if you want a picture, it'll be $20. If you want an autograph, it'll be $20. If you want both, it'll be like $35. Yeah. You know, so you can't really like give him a hard time about that.
I have a great story. I don't know if this is a time for it, but if you want to hear it, I have an amazing Dave Prowse story.
Go for it.
I'm listening.
So I was working a convention in Pasadena because I used to work for a company that you know did stuff, sci-fi stuff. Anyway, we had a booth, and all of a sudden they announced that Dave Prowse was doing a signing. I had never been to a con before in my life. I had never done anything. I didn't know how it worked. So I looked at my booth mates and went, dude, fucking Darth Vader's here. There's no, bye. I got to go. And they're like, go. That's fine. I went running upstairs as fast as I could. I found this room and it wasn't easy. And I threw the door open. No one was there. No one. I don't know. I think everyone, you know, obviously associates Darth Vader with James Earl Jones. Mm-hmm. So Dave Prowse, I'm going, David Prowse, you know, nobody even cared. So I walk into this room and I go up to him and I said, you know, when I was a kid, you know, this, I was in line for Star Wars and this figure came in front of me and, you know, I scared the shit out of me. And my mom said, that's Darth Vader. You're going to see who that is pretty soon. I identified him with the evil and blah, blah, blah. My whole Star Wars experience. I just did this whole thing in front of him. And he's like, great. Thanks, kid. You know? And I said, can I get you to sign something? He's like, yeah, of course. I said, and he had these posters and he had these 8x10s. He had all this stuff. I'm like, he's like, what do you want? I'm like, really? And I got like an old school 1970s poster of him. And, you know, the Luke, I'm your father, 8x10. And he threw them down and starts fucking writing all over them. And he goes, all right, that'll be like, it was like $65 or something like that. And I was like, oh shit. I didn't realize. Yeah. I'm like, I had no idea how this worked. I'm so sorry. And he looked at me weird, and he rolled the shit up, and he covered it in plastic, and he handed it to me, and he said, you know, let's take a picture. And I'm like, like, okay. And I took a picture and with him, and he said, there you go. Thank you. I was like, fuck. So I went back, and it was a magical day for me. Years later, only 4 or 5 years later, you know, or 4 or 5 years ago, you know, my wife at the time surprised me with tickets to Celebration, and I went to Los Angeles Convention Center, and he was there. And I was like, you know what? Fuck this. So I went to the ticket buying booth where you buy your tickets to get autographs, because that's how they do it. Now I know that. I fucking bought a ton of them and stood in line and walked up and gave him all of them. I mean, he was charging $35 for a picture and a autograph, and I gave him like $70 or something. And I was like, I met you on this day, blah, blah, blah. And he remembered me.
That's fucking awesome.
Yeah.
And I said, this is for you. You don't have to give me anything right now. And he brought me behind the desk, which you were not allowed to do. He got a picture. He had his wife take a picture of me and him. My wife took a picture of me and him. We sat and talked for like 15, 20 minutes with a line behind us. You know, it was such an incredible experience. And that's kind of why I really respect what they do.
That's got to affect your, when you hear rumors that he's not going to be involved in episode 7, that's got to have.
Well, and I brought that up too. It sucks. I think they would have called him if he was able to do it, but I don't think he's physically able to do it.
Yeah.
You know what's interesting to me is that here you have the guy who's playing the epitome of evil, who's the nicest guy in the world, and you have the good guy who's the world's biggest dick.
Yeah.
in Harrison Ford.
Right. Yeah.
How ironic is Darth Vader
fucking awesome. Han Solo kind of. No, I hate saying Han Solo sucks. Harrison Ford sucks.
Yeah. Han Solo does not suck. Yeah. Harrison Ford sucks.
But Dave Prowse, a beautiful human being.
Yeah.
I'm sure he was very hurt when his voice was replaced.
He didn't know until the day he saw the film.
Yeah. It sucks that they didn't tell him, but you had to kind of suspect that.
James Earl Jones' voice, so you can't beat it.
No. I think he probably knows that too, but at the same time, that's another reason why Hayden Christensen had no fucking right putting on that costume.
Yeah,
because no one, he just doesn't fill it. Doesn't look like Darth Vader. I mean,
stupid people named Hayden.
I don't blame him for being cast in it, and I think that he probably did the best he probably could have with the situation at hand.
I blame George Lucas for all of it. I mean, he couldn't direct an actor to save his fucking life. He didn't direct anything after Star Wars, except for the prequels.
I mean, he certainly hasn't proven himself in the long term as a...
American Graffiti is a great movie.
It doesn't hold up. I watched it last year.
Really? It's been a few years.
I don't feel like it does. No.
How is that possible?
It just feels long. It feels like you go from one musical number to another, and I think that it just feels like this is something from the early 70s.
The last time I saw it, which is probably about a decade, I think that was its charm. Its charm was that it was a day in the life, and that was
like
a
Dazed and Confused?
Long, yes. It was a long, drawn-out sort of day in the life of these people. That is something that I love. Actually, I love it when a movie does that. Dazed and Confused is a great example, even though Dazed and Confused is still sort of catered to the MTV generation, but it still had that old school, long drawn out, you know, day in the life feel that, I mean, American Graffiti kind of perfected. A decade ago, I thought it was fantastic.
I will go further and say that I don't think THX 1138 holds up either. You can see, like, where it would have been cool at the time.
I can understand that more than I can understand American Graffiti.
It's
American
the same thing.
It's not, because THX 1138 is set in the future that we haven't even gotten to yet.
Yeah.
American Graffiti is a time capsule, and especially people who lived through that period were like, damn, this really captured a period of my life. So I mean, like, I don't see how it can't hold up.
My opinion is it doesn't hold up to a modern audience. I had a movie club recently, and we watched it in the movie club. And everyone kind of went, yeah, it was really boring. That was a really boring movie.
Okay. Again, day in the life movies tend to be a little meandering. And I think that is the glory of a day in the life movie. And they are few and far between. And maybe it comes down to their four particular audiences. I happen to be one of them. Like, I don't mind that. Like, that is exciting to me. I wish more day in the life movies happened, to be honest.
That's a very subjective thing.
I'll go back and watch it again.
Yeah. Having watched it recently, I go, it feels like a little bit of a bloated movie. I mean, there's cool parts to it, and like, I like the music, and I like the
Jaded by the fast-paced things that are happening now?
Possibly. It's hard to say how much we're influenced by the rapid cuts and the fast pace of the movies that we've gotten used to.
It's like watching movie trailers.
For
like,
sure.
Movie trailers of old are so fucking horrible. Oh my God, the Star Wars trailers are awful.
But they weren't at the time.
No. Again, I watched American Graffiti like 10 years ago, and I thought it was just, I really thought it was beautiful. I think it's a beautiful film.
You should watch it again. I'd love to revisit this conversation.
Challenge accepted. I will do this literally in the next couple nights because I love that movie.
It's not that I hate it. I just feel like after watching it as a younger person and going like, that movie was awesome. That was cool. And then watching it now, yeah. I kind of go, eh.
10 years ago, I was still not a young man.
No.
Wolfman Jack.
No,
I'm kidding. You know,
I'm saying there are great parts to the movie as a whole. I don't know if you'd look at that movie and go, this is an argument for George Lucas being a good director.
I'm very surprised to hear this from you, actually, because I think standard epic films sort of get the caveat of modern audiences, sort of like, you know, Citizen Kane, watching Citizen Kane. Do modern audiences get Citizen Kane?
No, I agree with you. And that was what I said, is you have to put yourself through, you have to put the lens of, I'm in the 70s now, and this was groundbreaking in the terms of what we are presenting to the audience.
Okay, so you're saying that caveat that we actually hate to hear when somebody goes, well, for its time.
Right. Citizen Kane does not hold up viewed through a modern lens. It just doesn't. Casablanca does not hold up viewed through a modern lens. They're great movies, but you have to put yourself into a time period that's
of course.
Right. American Graffiti is the same
thing. Well, and the same thing will happen to Star Wars, and the same thing will happen to Guardians of the
Galaxy. Hush your mouth.
And the same thing. It's
Hush
true.
Your mouth. You know?
I think there's certain movies that focus on the culture and the society of that time versus just taking place in the culture of that time and being a good, and I don't want to connect the Leah Thompson thing with Back to the Future, but I look at something like very pop culture, like with Back to the Future, where it's very 80s, right? It takes place in the 80s, but kind of the draw of that movie is him going into the future, going into the past, trying to get back and forth.
What do you mean Back to the Future happened in the 80s? Back to the Future happened in three different time periods.
No. It originally took place in the 80s. But what I'm saying is, and then you look at something like American Graffiti, it's a very 50s culturistic timepiece where it's, yeah, you're really focusing on this thing about living in the 50s. Okay. Where Back to the Future is never about living in the 80s. Okay, it was more about there was another plot focus.
But again,
focus.
So is Grease. I don't think anyone would ever say, well, you've got to put yourself in a, you have to view Grease through the lens of, you know, 80s, 70s filmmaking, you know, through, you know, of a 50s movie.
Right. But Grease is a little bit more of a fantasy. You look at it and you can suspend your disbelief a little bit because it doesn't present any of the subject matter is like completely literal.
I do agree that I think audiences these days are ADD.
Totally.
Totally. No, I mean, they don't put up with the slow, even historical, you know, things that are based on things that have happened in our history.
Well, no, it's totally true.
It's got to be spiced up.
even my, you know, youngest brother, he doesn't get things that I think are brilliant because he's like, it's kind of boring. He's like, oh my God, the slow burn, the development.
The subtleties. You know, age is a big part of this, is when you view the movie. At what age? I think our maturity level and our movie, everything we enjoy in life changes, right? As we mature in life,
sure.
And we have a different eyeglass that we view things through.
Okay, but yeah. Now we're talking about Jaws, which I'm sure you guys saw on video. We saw it in the theater.
It scared the shit out of me, but okay. now I can go back and it's like,
have you watched that recently? And would you say Jaws holds up, John?
I think Jaws holds up in a major way, but I also feel like there's an element of Jaws that I'm never going to be able to escape from. That was the young person watching Jaws for the first time.
So doesn't it automatically happen for you then?
That movie, it does. But I'm saying that there are certain movies that do that and certain movies that don't.
Okay.
And when I watched American Graffiti, I kind of expected to have that Jaws feeling, and I was just like, I'm a little bored.
All right. Well, maybe I'll go back and watch American Graffiti. We'll revisit this conversation. Maybe it's because I love movies of that era. I mean, like, I was into that shit before Grease ever came out. You know, I mean, I was a very big fan of. I actually like American Graffiti too, sort of. sort of. I like half of American Graffiti too, but Lords of Flatbush, and Wanderers. So maybe I'm more sensitive about American Graffiti because I speak for that. But we will revisit this.
Okay,
and that was fun. High five.
I don't have any fucking drink in my glass.
Oh, shit.
You bastards. Who's falling down on
this? Dude, and you actually looked around several times going, dude, look at my glass. Look at my glass. All right.
All right.
All right, let's.
Actually, all right. Let's do it.
Fan edits of movies. This is like a new thing. There's a Desionized.
Desionized,
which is
God.
Matrix.
Matrix 2 and 3 put together into one 2-hour and 15-minute movie.
With all of the Zion parts taken out.
Wait, can we just de-Matrix 2 and 3?
So just watch the trailer?
There's also a Loki movie that is the parts. It's all kind of like from Loki's perspective, from what I understand, of Thor. And Thor, the Dark World, as far as
and
as long with the Avengers.
Well, we know who our expert in this field is.
And I have actually watched it, and it just came out a few weeks ago. And again, it's a fan edit, and the person's goal was to focus on the parts with just Loki. So they kind of actually created a whole different story using all the different parts of Thor, Avengers, Thor 2, and they included some of the extras. So at certain points, you see the effects are kind of half-assed because it's from the extra scenes that were cut. But I know, John, you started to watch it, and you said it wasn't for you.
Yeah, I only got a couple minutes in, frankly. I mean, it felt like, all right, I don't really need this.
Yeah, and I did watch the whole thing. There were a couple of rough transitions, but for the most part, it was actually quite interesting seeing everything kind of just from Loki's perspective. It was, of course, very sympathetic to Loki.
So it was done by a girl. Probably.
That I don't know. that I don't know. There's a lot of guy Loki fans out there as well, but there are.
No, I know. I'm a guy Loki fan, but I mean, you know.
But what's kind of great about it is that Tom Hiddleston is a truly great actor, and when you see the movies in full, you're kind of surrounded by other great actors and chewing the scenery and whatnot. So when you watch this fan edit of it, you really get to see his acting chops, which is kind of nice.
But you didn't see any crotch shots in this one.
I did.
No.
No, that's
thing.
Just Muppets Most Wanted. That was I got to see my turtle head. my Tom Turtle Hiddlestead.
Wow.
No, but one of the great things about the Thor movies and Avengers is kind of like his expressions and his kind of devilish grins and his looks and his mewling quims and whatnot. And you get to see all of those all together. And I don't know. It was just and especially kind of at the end of Thor 2, spoiler alert for anybody who hasn't seen a movie that's like a year old. But, there's a very much a trust issue. And with all the other fluffy stuff cut out, you see the real play that Thor and Loki did on the Dark Elves. So it was quite interesting. I thought it was a fun watch. I don't know if I'll watch it again. I don't know that I need to, but it was fun.
All right, so overall, your thumbs up on the fan edits of stuff?
Yeah, out of 5 sci-fives, I give it 3.
All right, well, that's medium, I suppose. All right, cross-play. And I was confused when you first sent this over, Tracy. I was like, why are we talking about cosplay? We talk about cosplay all the time. But it's cross-play, which is...
Right.
Explain.
And no, I you guys go to a lot of conventions as well, so you see a lot of like female Lokis and whatnot. And this is something that I do quite a bit. Being a tomboy, I cross-play
Hammer.
As the Doctor, as Thor, as Malcolm Reynolds, as Han Solo. I do it a lot. But what brought this to the forefront for me was that there was an article about a woman who had a 5-year-old son who was all boy, into trucks and everything, but his favorite movie was Frozen. And he decided that he wanted to be Elsa for Halloween. And the mom was like, oh, well, great. I'll make you a sparkly blue pantsuit. And he was like, no, I want to wear the dress. I want to be Elsa. And it got me thinking about kids doing cosplay. And I know with my nephew and my niece were in a DC Batman and Villains photo shoot. And two of the kids, their brother and sister, they often cosplay. Mostly the girl as male characters, but you know, like, I think that it's kind of nice as a culture that we're becoming more accepting of kids switching over. It's not so much boys are blue, girls are pink anymore. And it, I don't know what your guys' opinion are on kids cross-playing. Adults, obviously, that's their decision, but on kids cross-playing, specifically on little boys dressing as female characters, which I think is fantastic. And I think that parents are becoming more like, you know, don't tease those other kids, and teachers are more aware of teasing and things like that. I don't know. What are your guys' opinion on that?
I don't know. I think it's kind of gray. You got to be kind of careful with this, especially with kids. Like, I can see the girls dressing up with guys. I mean, it's kind of a more with the pants.
So you think there's a double standard?
I think there's a double standard.
I completely disagree with you.
No. But I also think you have to be careful because you can't control how other people feel or how their kids are going to treat other kids in the world, so to speak. If your son says you want to dress up as Elsa in a princess suit at Comic-Con or whatever in a dress. And I think you do have to be careful. There's a lot of mean people in the world. Like,
But doesn't that become a teachable moment, you know? And I think that you can make that into a moment where you teach them how to be strong, independent people.
You can, but kids are very young and impressionable sometimes, too. They're sensitive. I mean,
if a kid wants to do something, are you going to tell him not to?
Right. I'm not saying not tell him not to. I'm saying that you talk to him and let them know that there could be feedback that you're not going
to
like.
When I was a kid, I started wearing makeup and nail polish. Well, you know what? I used to bite my nails really bad.
Mm-hmm.
And then I put on clear nail polish to stop biting my nails. Mm-hmm. And it worked. It totally worked. It made me stop. And then I went, God, the options, though. You know? And I started wearing nail polish early on. And I got made fun of. And I didn't give a fuck. Fuck you. I'm wearing nail polish now. And then it was like, well, shit.
But didn't it make you gay?
Actually, you're sort of lending. I mean,
that's my point.
Exactly. Yeah. I know. That's the point right there. And then I thought to myself, you know what? I've got blonde eyelashes mm-hmm. that you can't see whatsoever, which really was weird for my eyes. And I've got fucking awesome eyes. I'm like, I'm wearing eyeliner from now on. I did this at a very early age. My mom is going to listen to this and go, yes, he did. Yes, he fucking did.
Well, something you said that just caught my attention was kids were mean to you. Right, you said they're
right.
I all I'm saying is that set the expectation.
My mom didn't.
You can tell them, look, you know, some kids might make fun of you, but F them.
That's
you know?
All I'm saying is that they're not everyone in the world is open. Right, I don't know. I'm not saying that you
right, but everyone in the world should be open.
I think it's becoming more open. I think it's becoming more acceptable.
I hear your point, Hayden. Mm-hmm. I hear your point, Blaine. And I kind of skew to Blaine, where I go, yes, you should tell your kids, hey, you may get crap about this. Fuck those people, because everyone should be accepting of what you choose to do. And it shouldn't be an issue.
I agree. Yeah. I'm actually saying even more, and maybe this is age range specific. Maybe if you're 13 to 15 in your teens and you're like, fuck it, I don't care. You've got a different attitude about it. If you're in your 5 and 6 and 7 year olds, kids are sensitive. Some kids are just when you're younger, you're sensitive. When you're getting bullied or beat up, isn't there a national anti-bullying campaign?
That's always been around. Everyone's always gotten bullied. We're just, you know, our society now is so fucking PC that it's gotten out of fucking control.
No, I agree with that.
And don't get me wrong. Yeah. I think bullying should stop, but it's always been here. And by the way, you know, people who say I got bullied, therefore I'm going to take out a fucking school. No, you have mental problems. You know, that's a whole separate issue.
Fuck, I got bullied when I was young.
I got my ass kicked every fucking day. And you know what? When we had our high school reunion, I went up to that kid.
I did too. I called him out. Hey, remember when you used to fucking totally pick on me every day? That was fucked up, huh?
Yeah.
And it was interesting to see how people would be like,
No, that's totally true. There was one guy. It was like, I don't know what you're talking about. And he just totally ignored. You know, it was like, oh, that sucks. I wanted to make this an awesome conversation,
right?
You know, but he was like, I'm,
but it's too much for him.
Yeah, it was too much for him. Mario Johnson, I still have nightmares about. That motherfucker,
Mario Johnson. You're called out.
You're called out. He scared me. He scared me. He used to beat me up all the time. But again, I didn't go out and shoot people. I got my ass kicked all the fucking time, and I look back on that, and I'm like, I'm stronger because of it.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, we're also raising a bunch of pussies. And I can say that because I don't have kids.
It's dependent on how the person reacts to what, you know, what they're given. You know,
well,
I mean,
an upbringing too.
Well, and as a parent, you need to know your kid and how he's going to react, and you need to act accordingly.
Exactly.
Yeah. I mean, I got picked on a lot when I was in elementary school, even a little bit in junior high, not so much in high school. I mean, I got into my share of fights, and that was because my dad always said, don't back down to a fight. You know, like, if you get into, if someone confronts you, then you stand your ground.
No, I've never backed down to a fight.
No. And as a consequence, I got my ass kicked a lot.
Me too.
But I always felt good about it.
Yep.
There are other people that I look at from my elementary school experience that were picked on a lot and have not really gone down a good road because of it. And I look at it and very much so like trace it back to the experience that they got in elementary school and the picking on, it didn't make them stronger. It made them, reactive, if that makes sense. So it's weird. It's a weird, like for me, I feel like it made me stronger.
Put your big boy pants on.
I know.
My belief.
Yeah.
But I've said before that I felt very lucky that I didn't really get picked on in high school. When I got picked on was in elementary school, and that was a lot of it was because we moved around so much because my dad was in the Navy and I was a big tomboy, and I developed early, so I think a lot of the girls were probably jealous that I had boobs and stuff like that. But
you have boobs?
Shut up. But
I'm kind of jealous.
It did. I mean, it really did influence who I was. I was naturally a very shy kid, but I think that it made me a very kind person and very much aware of other people who were being picked on. I didn't care if I was being picked on, but if somebody else was being picked on, I sure as shit defended that person.
Mm-hmm.
Even if I didn't particularly like that person or whatever, like I wasn't going to let somebody be picked on.
Oh, yeah, I did that too.
You know,
yeah.
and that has been my entire life. To this day, if I see somebody else being picked on, I'll step in, and you know, and my significant other gets really anxious because he feels like he's going to have to get into a fight at some point because of me.
Well, right.
And I'm just like,
there is that. Well, at this stage in the game, yeah, there is that.
But I feel like, you know, I can kind of gauge a situation and how I'm going to approach it based on that. But my brother got a bottle broken over his head and ended up in the hospital for defending somebody who was being picked on. I mean, so it is definitely a serious consideration. But
well,
I can't.
Yeah, but
I can't.
You're talking about adults. That's
right,
that's not
right,
bullying.
Right.
Yeah.
That's being
assault.
An asshole. Yeah. 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 But I can't watch somebody be picked on and not do something.
So to crossplay,
I got really serious.
I know. Would you say that there is a double standard in that? I think more women crossplay into the kind of the male realm than males do into the female realm.
Probably.
As a rule.
Yeah, yeah, but I think it's hilarious when there's a woman walking around as Han Solo and a guy walking around as Princess Leia.
You and I, Tracy, were talking about it earlier because John's having a superhero pub crawl, you know, and I have to fucking fit dreads into my costume and I can't fucking figure out the thing that I want to do. I'm not going to be able to do now, so I'm kind of scrambling. And I was like, I would be Michonne, you know? It's like,
that'd
you know,
be sweet.
Well, yeah, but then we also get into the blackface thing, which, because I won't do a white Michonne, sorry. So,
and that's not acceptable.
And I think that's bullshit myself.
That's a topic for another time.
Yeah, it is. And if I said I wanted to be Michonne, I can't. None of my black friends would be like, no, you can't do that. They'd be like, fuck, that would be awesome. So anyway,
yeah, well,
different topic.
Yeah, totally. So let's just talk about one or two more things and we'll wrap up. Vin Diesel in The Last Witch Hunter.
Huh? It's funny because every time he...
I know nothing about this. Sorry.
Whenever he does voices, it's fucking awesome. Whenever he does a movie, it's like horrible. But The Last Witch Hunter sounds kind of cool. I'm not a pitch. I loved the original. I loved Pitch Black.
Pitch Black, yeah.
I any of the what was his name?
Riddick.
Rick.
Chronicles of Riddick.
No,
and Riddick.
Yeah.
I'm not. I just and Triple X and any of his action films. No,
Fast and the Furious. Not
no.
A big,
right. Well, no, the first one actually. I fucking loved that movie.
It was cool.
I was sick, but I lied. That was sick. I was.
He was under the weather.
I was sick. I stayed home from work that day. My mom was like, "Watch Fast and the Furious."
So you're not into Vin Diesel as the Last Witch Hunter?
You know who I am into in the Last Witch Hunter is Rose Leslie.
Ygritte?
She's Ygritte. In Ooh. Last Witch Hunter. That's why I'm
going to see
in
that,
movie. Right there, yep. you go.
All there right,
go.
I can see her and stuff.
I'm in.
She can be on my list.
I'm committed.
Underworld is getting rebooted.
Why?
Did you hear about this?
No, why? Aren't there like four of them already?
That's like a Spider-Man reboot.
I didn't know until you sent it. I'm like, rebooted? A sequel came out, what, 2 years ago?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't get the point of it.
No. Nah, don't care.
So we're all in the same boat.
I saw the first one and I didn't like it.
Yeah.
And
I'm with you.
I wasn't into it.
I like Kate Beckinsale.
I like it.
She's hot.
She's hot, but I
don't get it.
Is Kate Beckinsale not going to be in it? It's going to be somebody else?
I have no idea.
They're not saying anything, but it's a reboot. So how could
weird?
How could she be in it?
I feel like that I Frankenstein was like Underworld Part 7. It looked
I'm with you on
close.
That.
Oh my God, that's actually. Did you say something smart?
It must be the alcohol. I can't.
Wow, I didn't think about that.
So, Ghost in the Shell is getting a movie,
which is funny.
I'm going to say right up front, I'm not a Ghost in the Shell person. I've never really gotten to a lot of anime.
No. And didn't they do? They did something in 1995. They tried to do a movie, right? The only good thing about a movie based on Ghost in the Shell is it's a hot chick running around in lingerie. That's the only
I'm in.
Apparently they've either cast or they're talking to the actress that was the wife in Wolf of Wall Street.
She's very hot. Her running around in lingerie would be awesome, and it's ass kicking and it's cool.
Tracy's rolling her eyes a little bit.
I have issues with female superheroes that have no protection armor whatsoever. It's like when they wear stiletto heels. It's
right.
So not practical.
Yep.
If they want to do a scene later that's not in the action-y stuff in the lingerie, like, you know, Emma Frost, whatever, like, fine. But if they're actually doing the action in lingerie, that's just stupid. I'm sorry.
I'm with you on that.
Were you an Ian Flux fan?
That was a weird
The cartoon
movie.
Or the movie?
The cartoon.
I liked the cartoon, but it's a cartoon.
Right.
I love those Hawkeye drawings where they show Hawkeye in the positions that the female superheroes
The Hawkeye Project?
Oh,
yeah.
My God. That was amazing.
It's hilarious because it showcases just how ridiculous it can be.
Right. But at the same time, it's a man's world we live in. You know?
And Blaine seems okay with it.
Is he a guy? Let me check. Yeah, he's a guy.
I appreciate female hotness just as much as the next dude. I just want it to be somewhat practical. Mm.
Star Trek is maybe going to find a home on Showtime. That's the rumor.
There's a rumor about that. And this comes from somebody who knows somebody who knows somebody in the CBS long-term planning department, whatever. But there was a rumor for a while that Netflix was going to do a Star Trek series. And now they're implying that maybe it would find a better home on a network like Showtime where they could really kind of get into the nitty-grittier part of Star Trek.
Do you think they're going to adult it up, like with F-words and stuff, if they go Showtime?
I don't know. I don't know that there's a place for cursing in Star Trek.
Well, they could do a frack, or they could do a...
Gorham?
Humping. Like, hump you. It cracks me up.
Again, I don't know that there's a place for... I would be really excited to see how they treated it. And I think that there is a place for a Star Trek TV show in addition to the J.J. Abrams... Not even anymore, J.J. Abrams, but the new movie alternate universe.
You just see a lot of these shows like a Game of Thrones or whatever. They go to these explicit cable networks because they can get away with a lot more. And it feels Star Trek going to one of these cable networks is kind of a weird, interesting move.
I mean, yeah. Star Trek's not one of those shows that needs to be on a premium channel.
No,
like
it doesn't.
That.
Yeah.
I mean, God, they. Season one, there's an episode called Conspiracy where they blow up a guy's head. And at the time, it was a huge deal. And if you watch it reruns, they still show the disclaimer on it that it might be upsetting to small children and that it's graphic. And it pales in comparison to anything that's on any show today. I mean, even like a sitcom, like it pales in comparison. But they could certainly get more gory with it. Like, I mean, even like in Star Trek Deep Space Nine with the War of the Dominion, there were some really intense battle scenes, but you don't really see much gore. So they could really get into that on a Showtime show.
You would appreciate this. I was at the Hollywood Forever Cemetery seeing a concert, which is across the street, of course, from Paramount. And a friend of mine years ago used to work for the writing of Star Trek Next Generation. So like the part of the building, I had to walk right by the part of the building where she used to work, where all the writers were. And every time I walk by that building, I always think of Star Trek, which it's not there anymore, of course. But
there is a Gene Roddenberry building I used to go into all the time when I worked. I used to work in Larchmont Village. They were one of our clients. I had to walk over there. It was right down the street. In fact, they did the Kirk and the William Shatner, Chris Pine arm wrestling. And I kind of walked by and I was like, what was going on here? Like, I was off like getting lunch or something, and then I found out later and I was like, fuck, what the hell. But it's funny because the Gene Roddenberry building has absolutely nothing to do with anything to do with Star Trek. It's a very generic looking building. It's just kind of named in honor of
they all are.
All right, last topic. They've already released dates for Terminator 2 and Terminator 3.
What's with all these releasing dates so far ahead? I feel like I know every single movie I'm going to see up through like 2025.
Arnold's hard up for a paycheck.
They haven't even released the newest one, and they're already assuming that it's going to be a success and that there's going to be a 2 and a 3.
Okay, let me say one thing, and I can't tell you who, and I can't tell you why, but I know.
One of these.
I have a friend of mine who worked on the movie. He actually said that this is going to kick ass.
Which movie did you work on?
Terminator, the reboot.
Genesis?
Uh-huh. And I was making fun of all the shit that I've heard and everything we've talked about. And he's like, yeah, they do that really well. I made fun of the whole exoskeleton being...
him having a beard and getting older.
Human. And he's like, yeah, they answer that really well. Mm. So it's funny because I didn't give a shit about this, but because of what he said, and he's working behind the scenes, he's like, they're doing actually a really good job.
All right.
I really hope he's right.
And by the way, this guy hates everything. Oh. Everything.
I want everything to be awesome.
Did your friend know, by the way, are they doing this too because maybe they want to film a couple while everyone's still at a certain age state? So it's like
or under contract or available.
Well, he didn't say, but it has everything to do with Schwarzenegger.
Hey, you know what time it is? Time to be done with the show.
Oh.
Talk about Star Trek some more?
My name is John. I write supernatural thrillers. You can find me at johnmulhall.com, M-U-L-H-A-L-L.
My name is Tracy. You can find me at hotnerdgirl.com or facebook.com/hotnerdgirl. And actually, I'll be have a booth at Long Beach Comic Con. So come visit us.
And I am Hayden at geekoutlaw.com and facebook.com/geekoutlaw, at geekoutlaw Twitter. And I will be with Tracy at Long Beach Comic Con. So
I will also be at Long Beach Comic Con.
Hey.
Am I supposed to be at this one too?
Where's your booth, Blaine?
Fuck.
Blaine will be visiting at Comic Con.
Yeah.
Blaine is going to be John's booth babe.
Yeah, there you go.
I'm going to be walking around with a beer. Hi, I'm Blaine, and you can find me at Facebook and Twitter at iBlaine. That's iBlaine, or idiotstare.com. By the way, idiotstare just got added, or we just did a music video for another porn entity, so you can... Yeah.
Really? A porn thing?
Porn loves us.
Are you going to send me a link after the show?
Are you future popping the cherry?
And I was also going to say, tomorrow is my mom's birthday. So happy birthday,
happy
mom.
Birthday. Happy birthday, yay, monkey.
Happy birthday.
Cha, cha, cha.
You can find us at geeks at podthingy.com. Find us at podthingy.com, period. Yeah. And just fucking listen to us.
Yeah, share. All right. Share.
Sharing is caring. Guys.
We'll see you next week.
Yes.
Yay. Yes.
And this is at Long Beach.
This has been an episode of Pod Thingy. Join us next time for more geekery and nerdism.
Go back and eat your cheese curds.